All right. We're in Galatians chapter 5.
Galatians the last time I was there. Chapter 5.
Yes, 5 and verse 16. That's where we're going to start at, verse 16.
Check my notes.
Let's check your... Yeah. We kind of deviated a little bit, as usual.
Okay. Last week you said we're going to do 16 through 2016.
Okay. That's where we're at, 16.
And 5 and 16.
Right. And I know how we go back only because I know that our memories are not that strong. We're always, it's good to be put in remembrance of those and recap. Those, it never hurts to... It never hurts to go back a little bit. So, and those are things that questions you have today may not be questions that were last week, or maybe last week you didn't think about those things, and this week you might think about them.
But I wasn't complaining. I should have kept my mouth shut.
No, I didn't take it as a complaint.
Okay,
but. And that's one thing I thought about. You know, this is for us, the class, that is it's not like I do want to get through Galatians, but it's not like we're in
a
big
race.
Right.
It's a marathon.
But
it's a sprint.
We got to go slow enough that we absorb the information the Lord gave us.
And you got to really slow down up here.
Well, it's, but you know what? It's...
I'm just
40 plus lessons is a lot. I mean, anyway, let's keep going here. Galatians chapter 5. You know, notice when Paul, as he's writing the book of Galatians, and I thought about the scripture where it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. And that's what he's doing, is writing these letters. All these epistles are to get the believers back on track. Wherever they are in their maturity level, and that's one thing about it, the letters wouldn't be in there if there wasn't something going wrong in the believer's life. That tells us one thing that's important is that this side of glory, you always have what? You always have problems. Problems with you, not anybody else. It's a believer's problem, whether it's being out of focus, whether it's fear, whether it's bad doctrine, bad practice, whether it's persecution, discouragement. It's coming. And when Paul writes these things, is to get us back on track, wherever you are. It just so happens here that the Galatians hadn't got very far before they got bad doctrine that sidetracked them. And he lays it down. He reproves them. He corrects them. And then in the latter part, we're here in chapter 5, he starts to instruct them in righteousness. Where he says to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage, and to walk, in verse 16, to walk in the Spirit. And Mike said it last week, is when you do what? You take those words that's recorded and you meditate on them. As Paul says in Timothy, you meditate on them and give thyself wholly to them. That's when the prophet shows. And that's when you realize it's the word doing the work, not you. When you give yourself wholly to it, is you take it, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he lists them. He says, for the lust of the flesh, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You have that problem? The flesh tells you to do this, when the spirit says, do this. Y'all never had that problem?
When I was younger, I probably had that problem. Now it's your mind.
Well, that's you know what? You can have a fleshly mind. That's one thing that people think we get sidetracked is, we'll say this. I'm going to draw this up here.
You can't hide your thought life from the Lord.
This, right. All things are naked.
That's what the flesh is. It's the mind, right?
It's the
flesh. It all starts right here.
And that's what, most people don't believe that, Mike, is that they think, what is the body does what?
What your body does,
what the mind tells it to do, right?
Whether consciously or subconsciously, it controls.
There's always a way out.
I'm just drawing this man in here. This, I'm just drawing this man in prison, and I'm putting this law over this law and flesh, and I'm going to put up here in Adam. All this is synonymous. If he's in Adam, he's still in bondage to sin. And if he puts himself under performance, that's all this word means. Law is what? Is a performance. But he's still short of what? And I'll draw this over here. This will be a sun. How about that? You get it. In here is what?
In
the Son, right, in Christ. In the what? Spirit. Freedom, right? All of this is in here. And all those, you know, all those words we talked about, you know, sanctification, justification, redemption, that's in here. In here, you're a son. In here, you're an heir. In here, you have a what?
Inheritance.
An inheritance. And there, you get this.
Condemnation.
Right.
You ought to make little pamphlets of this here, right? For guys like me.
That's what. This is the contrast. That's why Paul's telling the Galatians, don't go back under what? The performance. In here, you get nothing. But in here, you get what? You get everything. In here, you have the vanity of your mind. Like Mike said, that's so obvious. If you got an empty mind, you're going to do what Galatians said, the works of the flesh. And he said, the works of the flesh are these. And he lists these things. But over here, that's why he'll say over in Ephesians, he says that walk not as other Gentiles walk in the what? Vanity of their mind. When we first start off in Romans, which is the foundation, he says to be what? By the what?
Renewing of your mind.
By the renewing of your mind. Well, it's this information, spiritual information, the doctrine that he lays down to transform your mind, that you might prove what is that what?
Good and acceptable and
perfect will of God. Can you do it over here in the flesh?
No way.
Because the natural man is...
does not understand or perceive the things of the Lord. Only spiritually minded can perceive spiritual things.
The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. That's what he's saying in Galatians. They lust against each other. They're opposites. So when you see this, you know if you put yourself under the performance, you fall into this. It's a principle. Like in Romans, he says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Is that word in the Bible?
What?
Transform.
Yeah, transform? Yeah.
Transform.
Romans 12.
In Adam, all what? Die. In Christ?
They're all made alive. Quickened.
Now, why did he? Right. Why did he make you alive?
He's got a purpose.
That's the whole thing. You know, when I was coming over here, and I was thinking, the picture came to my mind in Genesis, where you see where Jacob has this vision, and he sees the angels
ascending and descending,
from earth. Excuse me, to heaven. That's those little cakes. But
that's right. There are many Claire, so it'll just be many
spurts. But when Jacob has that vision, and what he sees the what?
The angels of the Lord ascending and descending.
Okay.
Not the sorry. Take that back.
What do you think about? When you...
He sees heaven open.
He sees heaven open. But what's going on there? Okay, let's look at it.
Well, angels are messengers. So I'm assuming there's information being transferred back and forth between the earthly and the heavenly.
Let's look at it, because that's... they weren't just going up and down to be going up and down, right?
We're on a carnival ride.
Not right. It wasn't a just an activity. Genesis, I think that's 40. It's the late 30s or early 40s. I'm not mistaken.
I think it's
past that. You know what? Actually, it was way before that. It might be in the 20s. Look at 27.
It's
28. Chapter 28.
28.
Yeah, that's it. Chapter 28.
Oh, there it is. And the angels of God were sending decent.
Yeah. 28:10. We'll start at 28:10. And he says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of, which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but what? The house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now, just from reading that, what do you get out of that now? When Jacob is and he sees this vision, and he sees the angels ascending and descending, and he says, God was at the top, and God made the statement. He says, I'll be with you, I won't leave you, and I'll give you this land, and you'll be a blessing. Jacob,
he's talking about inheritance.
He's talking about an inheritance. So Jacob is a what?
An heir.
What'd you say?
Heir.
Heir? Somebody said something else.
Son.
Yeah, he's an heir. He's an heir. He's a son. That's why he says Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because they're all heirs together. And he's connected it with the land. He connected it with his promise. Were we just talking about that? That it's been always been by grace. Jacob, what did Jacob do to get that? Jacob didn't even believe. As a matter of fact, when you read the verses following that, he says, "If you take care of me, I'll give you a tenth."
Yeah.
He just told him that he would do what? He just told him that.
Oh, yeah.
Jacob was full of faith, isn't he?
Nope.
But God's working something out. So, but anyway, the point I wanted to bring out was the fact that he said, this is none other than this, the gate of heaven, and this is the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. He knew that that was like God's headquarters. And he saw, like, that what Karen was saying, that they're going up and down.
FedEx
hub. It's a FedEx hub, all right, right. You could say that it was a spiritual hub. And if you think about it, he didn't say anything about heaven other than the fact that they were up, descending up and down. He told Jacob the earth was going to be, he would be a blessing in the earth. Mm-hmm. What Jacob didn't know is what we know about the what?
The fullness of time.
The spiritual blessings that are to come.
Mm-hmm.
And God's gonna use sons to do what he wants done, whether it's in the heavenly places or whether it's on earth. Okay, and to quote that a verse in Hebrews, that it says, "What are the angels but ministering spirits?" There, and what's another term that he used for the angels?
Messengers.
Another term. Extra.
So he called his sons.
He called them what?
Sons of God.
He called them sons. Why sons?
He can call them anything he wants to.
They have an inheritance also. You remember over in Jude, it said the angels who kept not their
first estate.
First what?
Estate.
Why would he use a terminology like that?
Yeah.
I think what I'm thinking about is which angels have been called his divine.
That's right. That's Hebrews.
Right.
But they're always connected.
That's good.
With service.
Y'all warm in here yet?
Mm-hmm. It's cold.
So, but okay, back to Galatians chapter 5. I went back to that because I'm trying to draw the connection between sons, like you saw the angels and their job. Mm-hmm. Like Karen said, you can infer that there's some communication going on, and he will one day again have that communication going on.
Makes me think of Ephesians
4.
So, in the fullness of time, he'll gather all things together.
There's going to be
heaven, things in earth, even in him.
They are his, right? The earth and the heaven, they're his, right?
Right.
Okay, Galatians. And don't forget that this, in the law, this is what you get. The condemnation, the death. You're cut off from the life that's in Christ. And you're actually cut off from this. You cut off from being, you cut off from service. You can't serve him in the flesh. You can't serve him by your own set of rules. What the law, you know what the law required? What the law demanded.
Perfection.
It required, it demanded perfection.
Law equals perfection.
That's it. The law asks you
to be righteous.
The law didn't ask you, it demanded that you be righteous. It demanded that you be what?
Holy.
That's what's required for service. That's what's required to be a son. So the law says you make yourself a son. But at the same time, it told you,
you don't have what it takes.
Right. It said that law was, and that it was weak through what?
The flesh.
Could never do it. That's why he came, Christ did. He came, the Son came, to do what?
To do what the law couldn't do.
To do what the law couldn't do. And when he did what the law couldn't do, which was perfect righteousness, and when he achieved it, he then what? He gave it away. It was a gift. By grace, he gives us that to make us fit, to make us perfect, to make us righteous, to make us holy, to make us sons, that we can do what?
Can I interject something? This is from before you got here. Frank, what he was just saying, you know, you kept talking about the Lord, but the Lord demands. He just said that what it requires for you to be in heaven, he's given you. But you have to receive the gifts. He's not demanding you take the gift.
Well, it depends on the wording on what you're reading from. And sometimes it crosses each other. And next time I come across it, I will stand up and say it.
Okay.
Because I've kept my mouth shut a few times and I wanted to say it, but I didn't want to interrupt everybody. Sometimes I say some dumb stuff.
You could ask whatever you want to ask, Frank. That's what we come here for you to.
Well, I know, but I just sometimes.
And you may end up asking a question that somebody else may be thinking about. They just don't know how to articulate.
I know everybody's thought about that question. It's just an area that you're reading from, and then you go from one to the other, from the old to the new, I'm not in a clear understanding of it because I still believe that it. I shouldn't say I still believe because I believe in Christ. And you know, when I was at that funeral, I get up there and this guy's standing there and he says, do you believe in Christ? And I said, well, yeah. And then he went on about, have you accepted the Lord? I said, yeah. And it turned out to be one of my wife's cousins, and she's, and he's hitting on me, you know, for, and I thought, well, then I found out it was one of the cousins, so.
Well, one thing that we do, I'm trying to stress, is the fact that salvation is free. It's a gift, you know, to be received by faith. That's what a gift is. It's, you know, it has no conditions on it. When he said he died for your sins, and when you do trust him, that takes you out of this situation over here in Adam, puts you in Christ, and it's free. It had nothing, you know, had nothing to do with your works. It had everything to do with his works. In his righteousness, the scripture says that he imputed it to you. He gave it to you. You know, that's like if I come up to you, well, I don't have any money, but if I came up to you, if I had $100 and I came up to you and put that in your pocket, I said, I just put $100 in your pocket for no reason. And say, all you can say is thank you, right? But if you trust me, you can go out and you know that you have what?
$100.
Because I'm trustworthy.
Right.
And you can go somewhere, you can walk into a store, and if you see something that's $98, you know you got enough because you trust the person that gave it to you. That's now, true. If he says that he died for all your sins freely, if you trust him, what would you say? All your sins are what?
Forgiven.
They're forgiven. Because you trust the person, you trust Christ, who says, I did it. Right? I mean, this.
And at the same time,
it's free.
Demanding that you believe.
It's,
you believe it or you don't.
I think we were talking about that. I mean, it says that it's upon all and unto all that believe. You know, a gift is this. You ever walked into a place and it would say, you'll see a sign that says free, take one.
Yeah.
The only reason you wouldn't get one is because what?
I've already got one.
You already have it or?
You don't want it.
I don't want it.
Or you don't want it. Or they ran out. But in this case, he never runs out of righteousness. But it's unto all.
Anybody
that wants it.
Yeah.
But it's upon all them
that take it out of us, that take it. Or that receive it. Or that
free.
Accept it.
In Romans, he said this, being justified
freely
through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I mean, justified freely. So, in Galatians, he said this. Back to when he says, walk in the Spirit. Well, that's what we're out. That's what we draw all those pictures, Mike, to show when you walk in the flesh, there's a lot going on in the flesh, isn't it? Where you're putting yourself. What's that?
And those bars, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, you're putting yourself in the system. Well, in Adam. Now, you could a believer, even though if he puts himself back under the law, it has the same effect. Functionally, he dies because he's trusting his own works. This is a system that's set up.
To fail.
Built-in obsolescence.
Built-in.
But he knew that when he made Adam.
That's
he knew what that woman was going to do to him.
He's all this is right. All this is in his mind. He knows. That's what when you get in here now. If in Adam is a built-in failure, it's a system of failure. You know that in Christ is what.
Built-in
success.
Victory. It's a total victory. Then we talked about that one. It's a total victory program. as long as you, like Roy would say, as long as you keep your mind right, it's, you know you have total victory. So he says something like this in Romans 8. Well, we can look at it. Look at Romans 8. And he starts off with this in Romans 8, and he builds on it as we go through the letters. And we have to believe this. This is what makes us want to serve him. It's because you realize that you're what? He said, you're right. He says,
Romans 8, what?
8:28.
Okay.
And we know. We don't always know, and all of us don't know. But when Paul's writing, he's writing these things to establish us that you might know. So when he gets over there, he says, then we know. We do know. We know that what? All things work together for what? To them that... There's that word again. We won't go back into that, but to them that love God. To them that are the called according to his purpose. And he says this, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among what?
Many brethren.
Many brethren. He says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified.
So I wonder, could we use the word love as being that's the mature son, the joint heir?
That's it. Because you missed a lot of classes, but and that's what we're talking about, where when you say love, he's not talking about an emotional connection. He's talking
from the heir and the joint heir.
That's
with that love connection.
Because what you're saying, he says all things work together to them that
love.
Well, that's automatically saying that there might be some
that don't. They just got in.
They just
positionally because they believe.
And I'll show you what I mean by that. Is this is
love is the truth working effectually in you.
Right. Because suppose a person is involved and they don't think that they're,
you know what? Uncle Beyonce.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking about something. Just maybe we can look at it this way, is that you believe and you trust, but you still carnal. You haven't matured yet. So that love is not there yet. So you're not joint, but you're in. Positionally, you are the heir.
That's why that transform thing is so important.
Right. Now, in Romans 5, Paul said this. He says, being justified by faith, we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And he said this, and not only so, we'll be right here. Just flip back a couple of chapters to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in what?
Tribulations
also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Romans chapter 5, we're in verse 4. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now,
that's the process, right?
That's the process that does what?
Makes you mature.
It makes you mature.
That's when, I remember you saying, Paul said, you did run well. So that's what I remember we were talking about, sanctification, justification, service. All of that was a part of becoming the joint heir.
Right. Moving towards that. And what he's saying is this. How many people, when they start going through hard times,
that's it.
They check out, spiritually speaking? Or they say this. You know what? I never forget. It was a couple in Detroit, and they had started. They had run well. They had begun to come to services, and they were learning and growing. And I don't know what happened, but I remember talking to the husband, and I said, "Where's your wife?" And they were participating, and he says, "Well, he said, I don't know. I don't think she wants to come back." I'm like, So he said, maybe you can call her and see, and you can talk to her. So we were over there one day, and she said, I thought God loved me. Mm. And I was like, what do you mean? He does love you. She says, I thought he loved me. If he loved me, he would have never let this happen. Mm. Well, I don't know what it was. I still don't know what it was to this day. And I think about her often, like, what was it that she felt like God didn't love her anymore? And she completely abandoned her service. But Paul said this. He says, knowing, she didn't know that tribulation worked patience, patience experience hope.
Wow.
Because she said this, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And this is how saints have a false sense of spirituality is this. They think the minute you get saved, everything's great.
Yep.
But the thing is just the opposite. Is the moment you get saved, the Lord requires some suffering.
That's how we grow.
That's how you grow. Not just suffering, I say suffering for him.
That's why love is seeing the truth work effectually.
In spite of the circumstances. So when you see, when he saved Paul, the first thing he said is, go thy way,
he's my servant, or my son.
He's my chosen vessel.
And he will suffer many things.
I will show him how many things he must suffer.
For my name's sake. For my name's sake.
So when Paul gets, that's where he gets to 2 Corinthians, he says, so I was having some issues. And I besought the Lord three times.
The Lord said no.
Can you imagine?
Therefore,
here's Paul, where he says, well, Mike's sick back there. Mike's in Georgia. I'm in Detroit. I'll send this handkerchief to Mike. He'll be all right. Mike gets the handkerchief. Guess what? He's all right. Here's a man who's doing that. Then he gets to the Lord. He says, and me and the Lord, we're close. He's been traveling. He's been walking with the Lord. It's not like he's a stranger making a strange request. He's been getting revisions. He's been getting revelations. And can you imagine he goes to the Lord and says, I'm sure this is a very small thing that I'd like to get rid of this. He goes a little while and nothing happens. And he says, well, I'm pretty sure I asked you this before, but just in case I'm having this issue, I really would like for this to be removed. And he goes on and expecting this to happen. Nothing happens. And he comes back again. He's like, kind of like Abraham was negotiating. He says, well, Lord, don't be angry, but remember that thing I asked you about? I really would like that to be removed. And the Lord said unto me,
my grace is sufficient for
this. My strength is made
perfect in weakness.
And then Paul says, most gladly, I'll glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Because he realizes, he says, I don't see this. I don't see how it's working, but I believe him. I believe him if he says that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Because what he wants you to do is get all this out. All that, I think I can work it out. I think I can handle this one. He wants you to get all that performance out, to have a total reliance on him and his grace. That's where he wants us. You okay, Frank? So,
it's too hot for you. You need to move back here. It's cold in the back of the room.
Where were we? Oh, that's what the...
Carolyn, I'm sorry.
So, the tribulation is... It makes you focus, because you think about this. If he loved me while I was a sinner, and he went through all this to ensure my salvation, I know he hasn't left me. That's why Romans 5, he says, he uses terminology like this. Much more than. If he died for me while I was a sinner, much more than now, I'll be saved by his life. If you're not convinced of that, if you don't have the conviction that he's for you, that he's for you no matter what, and if you don't have that conviction, then you will lose your love. You will lose that focus where you are completely confident in what he has provided. So when he gets to Romans 8, that's what he says now. He says, back to Romans 8. He says,
what verse?
Verse 31. He says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be
for us.
If God be for us,
who could be
against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that what? Justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, he goes on, and he's... Okay, let's look at this. He goes on, he says, shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are what?
More than conquerors.
We are what?
More than conquerors.
Through?
Him that loved us.
Now, if you're a focused believer and things start to fall apart, what are you going to say?
There must be a purpose in this, that the Lord is going to... The Lord's got something better for me through this experience. Someplace he wants to take me, believe me, shall
be. You look for the positive. You just don't go for the negative.
We know that's the necessary process that we have to go through, because we're sons.
Thank you.
We're going through that to reach glory.
He says, we know all things work together for good. So some of these things are just natural processes. It's not him putting you through those things. He's trying to show you when you're going through those things is...
You know, the other thing that's significant, I don't know, but only the sons are even allowed to go through those processes.
Exactly.
That's exactly. Why you see, that's why you see sinful, evil people in by the world standards succeeding and doing all these things.
Because
that's all they got. That's all they'll ever have. And
so really, that suffering that we go through is by grace.
Exactly. Because you know what? He knows. He knows that you're sold out to him anyway. Mm-hmm. If you're sold out to, look, the scripture said this, that Jesus Christ endured the shame and the suffering for the what? For the joy that was set before him. You weren't here, but do you remember we were talking about this a few weeks ago, that Jesus Christ, he had three titles. He was the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David. Why didn't he just say it's Jesus Christ? But he's the Son of God. He's the Son of David. He's the Son of Man. He's dropping all these little notes for us. That's why when Jesus Christ comes, he's completely sold out to the Father, and he's completely sold out to his people. So when he comes over here, that's where he says, who shall separate us from the love of God? You know what? Just how many? You know how many? Look at how many. 17 things in there.
And what does that mean?
I'm going to erase this. Well, you on the ball tonight. Let's see. He lists 17. Let's read this. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted for sheep as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What's a synonym for a conqueror?
Victor.
A victor? Okay. How about this?
Warrior.
Hero?
Oh, heir.
How about that? He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, in chapter 8, he already talks what James was just saying. He says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the... As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And he says this. He says, if we are heirs and joint heirs, if so be that we... suffer. So if you don't suffer, you don't get it. So when he's finishing up eight, he has to convince you. You have to be confident that when I go through these things, that I'm what? That I'm more than a conqueror through him. So, 17, that number, is connected with the heir and in the inheritance. Because he's showing you. He says, none of these things will keep you, will sidetrack you from being an heir. I'll prove it to you. Watch this. Go back to Galatians. And we talked about Galatians, the law, right? The law versus grace, right? And he says, Don't walk in the flesh, right? The lust, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so you couldn't do the things that you would. And he says this. He says, the lust of the flesh, he says, are these. If you be led of the spirit, hey, look up here for a second. He said, if you be led, this is in Galatians. He says, if you be led of the spirit, you're not under the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound familiar? Led of the spirit? Does that sound familiar? If you be led of the spirit, where did we hear that from? We just finished it in Romans 8. Didn't we?
Yes.
He says, as many as are led by the spirit, they are what? The sons of God. When you hear that word, you should automatically start thinking inheritance, heir.
And you also added there about the Father's business.
All that's connected. And part of that business is this. You have to suffer for him. So he uses this. He says, look, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you also. Let me go back. I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not
inherit.
Shall not what?
Inherit.
They're not what?
They're not heirs.
They're not heirs because they've disqualified themselves. They're back here. How many things did he list?
Seven. Well, actually, he listed 16. It's 16 and all the other things. So what he says is the 17th thing is not a thing. It's everything else.
That's
and such like is number 17.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not sold on it, are you?
Yes, we are.
Remember when Joseph?
We're just being exact.
Remember when Joseph went to Egypt, and his father loved him more, right? Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? You know, he loved him more. He gave him a coat of million colors. He had preferential treatment.
He was the youngest.
They,
no, he wasn't.
At the time.
At the time, right. And what happened was he went through a little suffering because he had a dream.
The sun and the earth are going to bow down.
He told his brothers that you all are going to serve me, right?
Uh-huh.
And at the time, he was
cocky.
He was
17 years old. And he goes into Egypt and he becomes second in command. He becomes an heir in Egypt. So he sends for his father, Jacob, when the famine comes. And his father comes in, and his father, he benefits from his son being an heir in Egypt. And just by a wild coincidence, God says that when Jacob was in Egypt, he lived in Egypt 17 years.
Same of his age he was when he had his dream.
Same as the son, right, he had the dream. But he said this. He says, when we leave out of here to go to our real inheritance, he said, what did he say? Don't leave my bones here.
Don't leave my bones.
Don't leave my bones here. Take my bones out.
Why did he say
was
that?
Was it the
Shiloh? No, the Canaan.
Canaan.
So, yeah.
As far as you inherit the kingdom of God, if you upon the law you would not inherit the promises.
Not just the promises, nothing. For those, if you're, because you're putting yourself in this, if you're a believer, you get no reward for, because you're stuck in the system. That's what we talked about. It's set up for failure.
It disqualifies
you. That's what the law, you know what? That's what the law did, was it disqualified you as an heir. It kept you as a child. Do you know the difference between, like he said this, he says that the law would, that put the person under the tutors and governors, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what's so good about grace, and we'll finish it up, is the fact that this is when he saves you, this is where the love comes in. He saves you and he says, I put you in a total victory program, a more than conqueror situation where you could be a joint heir. I've given you all you need in the spirit. And then he says this, what do you want to do? That's a son. He says,
that's also free will.
Free will, right. What he won't make you do it. He puts everything you need to succeed up front. And he says, okay, Mike, what do you want to do? That's why he says, if you could be led by the Spirit, you could become a son, or you could stay over there.
If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. So that's for reward, not for salvation.
Can you believe that?
If we believe not,
yet
he abides faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
He's done it.
That's one for in Christ.
He's done it. One more. We're gonna stop since you're not sold on that. Do you remember when? Make sure I get this. When Noah went into the ark, do you remember that? He went in the second month on the 17th day. Stayed in there for 5 months. Came out on the 17th day.
17th of the month.
And right. And you know what? He says something real interesting. I think it's in Hebrews where he said this. He says that by faith Noah went into the ark. And I had to look at that. I'm not.
In Hebrews?
So he was only in there 5 months.
Right. Hebrews must be 11. Yeah. By faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became became what?
Heir.
Became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Do you think that's by coincidence that he's making these connections?
Absolutely not.
Okay, and one more. There's more, but one more because we're out of time. The Lord himself. Matter of fact, flip back. In the same book, Hebrews chapter 2, I believe. Verse 5. And James quoted this. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visited him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And that's not the verse I wanted. It says this by it's chapter 1. But that's good too, that terminology. But he said this in chapter 1 verse 4. He says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath obtained, as he hath by what?
Inheritance
obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me what? A son. He said, Jesus Christ, by the resurrection, hath obtained a better inheritance. By the resurrection, he says, this day thou art my son. I said that to say this. When Jesus Christ was crucified,
this day being the day of his resurrection,
being the
that
day,
was the day he was begotten of the Father.
From the resurrection from the dead. The day he was resurrected, he was what?
Sure.
But he was the firstborn from the dead. But you just said it. The day he was resurrected, he was what?
The first, my what? Son.
He said that. This day, all right, my son, I have begotten thee. This day, right?
Oh, you know what? That's right.
That's what he said.
Okay,
and he obtained an inheritance. Anyway, let me cut to the chase here. The day he was crucified, he was the Passover. He was the Lamb of God. The Lamb, what they would do is they would take him on the 10th day. They would watch him, keep him up until the 14th day. And the 14th day, they did what?
Sacrifice.
They killed him. So when Jesus Christ died, he died on the Passover. He was dead. He was in the heart of the grave for what?
3 days and 3 nights.
He resurrected on the what?
17th day.
And on the 17th day, he became what?
The heir.
And a what?
A son. An heir.
On the what?
On the 17th day.
You know, that's interesting. So, he was the firstborn of the son family. I think of that because before then he referred to people as sheep, and he never referred to us as sheep. Now that we're sons, because we're
well, they're a different program. But he did. He did tell the Jews. He says he came to his own.
His own received him not, but to them who did, he gave them the power to become sons.
Power to become the sons of God.
Wow.
So, anyway, let's stop. I went over.
Interesting stuff.
Let's finish up. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time spent around your word. Lord, just pray that something was shared where we would cause us to want to learn more and to grow. We know these things are maybe hard to understand and to embrace, but we just thank you that you have recorded them in your word for us, and they're in there for a reason. And Lord, we just thank you for doing that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
So I wonder when Paul said that he was